When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Croakington, and we're back to Proving Ground 6. It's time to find out what has happened to Thane Porrand. I hope it's not too bad, but it does say bad tidings, so presumably it's very bad. That's the name of the scenario. Begin. At the conclusion of the previous part, Louis' inquiry about Owl serves to remind you haven't seen your companion since you struck a mighty blow by the Cesaro leader's formidable telekinetic attack. You quickly move over to the last spot in which you had seen him, but there is no sign of the Master Thief to be had. He'll turn up, scowls Urali as her eyes scan the edge of the forest. Strange indeed are some of those with which our taskmaster keeps company. You ask Julia what her to this island, and if she's been here all along. She shakes her head and sighs. I'm afraid our taskmaster is the very reason I've come here, Sir Croakington. I stand before you as the bearer of bad tidings from Sarngard Isle. But what are they? And now? Urali sighs and looks straight into your eyes. She opens her mouth to speak. But at that very moment, a long, eerie howl, the same you had previously heard with Owl, rises out of the forest to the north of the beach. This time, however, the unsettling call is much closer. Is it the beast? Could be the beast. Probably the beast. Oreo turns and faces the woods. What is that? She asks as her eyes scour the tree line. You quickly tell her that you've heard it before, and have yet to discover what is making the dreadful sound. Well, I think we're going to find that out shortly, she says, tightening her grip on her staff. Whatever it is, it's coming our way. You've already come to the same horrific conclusion. Uriali's sudden and startled shout causes your heart to skip a beat. She points into the forest and immediately spot what prompted her alarm. 40 yards inside the edge of the woods, you can clearly see small trees and brush being thrashed about as something large and powerful crashes through the forest, heading due south towards the stone beach upon which you stand. Suddenly, a thick wall of the woodland parts, less than 20 yards from the edge of the forest, giving you your first clear glimpse of the fearsome sight moving steadily in your direction. Stomping through the woods, making its way swiftly and steadily towards the beach, is a massive, towering stone and iron construct. You immediately recognise the construct as being nearly identical to those you encountered on Sarngard Island. This fearsome behemoth, however, is easily twice the size of any you've previously seen. A thin trail of black smoke streams out of the top of this construct's square-shaped head. As it parts two trees, continues crashing its way towards the beach. And you, so it's some sort of steampunk thing? But, you know, also magic? Suddenly, a large puff of black smoke erupts from the top of the construct's head, followed by a long, wailing whistle, which you realise is the howl you've been hearing. Aurelio turns and looks at you with a horrified look on her face. What is that? The massive construct reaches the edge of the forest and charges out into the open with long, thundering strides. The towering beast of iron and stone swiftly bears down on you. Boreal tightens her grip on her staff and steps to the white. The fearsome Benamoth will be upon you in a matter of moments. I've got quite a few options here. I could use archery. Shoot it. I don't think that will have that much effect since it's made out of stone and iron. So, telekinesis, elementalism, illusion. I guess that might get the surprise attack in or something. But I don't think it will be off me for long. Hold your ground and await its arrival. Charge forward and attack the construct. Or flee immediately. I don't think I've ever done the last one. But I have played through this 6 or so times, maybe more. So maybe I did it once. Anyhow, off to random.org. Number between 1 and 7. I got a 6. So I'm going to charge forward and attack the construct. Just jump on its head and start smashing. You boldly charge the approaching construct, hoping to have at least some momentum behind your attack. You're taking less than 10 strides when Yulia shouts a warning to you, but you're already well of the situation, reason for her desperate cry. Your eyes fixate on the broad chest of the stone and iron construct, across which many small bands of crackling golden energy have begun to writhe. Much to your horror, several of these weaving bands come together to form a brilliant, almost blinding orb of luminescence. Out of the centre of this dazzling orb erupts a broad arc of golden energy. The deadly, crackling band of energy hurtles straight towards you. Alright, so, 3 options now. Elementalism or fortification, both at 60+, or just sprawling out of the way. Random.org, tell me what to do. Number 3, we're going to dodge. You attempt to jump above the deadly arc of golden energy, now surging straight towards you. Which means once it hits me, it's going to be on a downward arc, so it's going to plow into the ground pretty much immediately, straight away, as long as I'm not there, which I won't be, because I'm jumping. But can I jump fast enough? Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 10 from luck, 20 for woodmanship. Pick now! 145. I spring. In a remarkable sway of agility, you manage to spring 20 feet into the air. And then come down perfectly fine. As you resume your charge towards the towering being of stone and iron. Actually, it takes me quite a while to get down, so I kind of glide a little bit of the way to the construct on the way down. Not some full flying squirrel stuff, and not getting any of those floppy flaps for that, but still spreading out, I can get a little bit of forward with the down. As you resume your charge towards a towering being of stone, you're horrified when the construct suddenly unleashes a second arc of energy. The crackling blast hurtles straight towards your chest. And the rest of me as well. Because it's big enough, it's bigger than me. So, anyway, same thing again. This time I get a 1, so elementalism. Alright, click the button. Alright, I'm going to try again. Elementalism. Stupid internet. Work. Elementalism. I've still got Neville Reserve. Elementalism. I said elementalism. All right. I'm going to pause for a bit while the internet gets its act together. For some reason, the game just wouldn't accept any of the powers, so I'm going to have to try dodging again. You make a desperate attempt to dodge the second of the construct's arcs of golden energy. Picking Pick a random number. Bonus of 49. 19 for agility, 10 for luck, 20 for woodmanship. Success 75 as before. Pick now. You spring once again. Now kind of go diagonal so you can land on top of a tree. And then you go down again. The blast goes under you by, well, a couple of inches. With no desire to allow the construct enough time to get off another of his deadly attacks, you spring from tree to tree and go and hop on its head. A thick stream of black smoke pours out of the top of the construct's head as you prepare to engage your fearsome opponent. It's a massive construct. The towering construct smashes you with its energy-entwined fists. The massive construct shudders as its metal fists suddenly emit a fierce golden glow. You sense the construct is slowly increasing its strength. And it's lucky for me that it didn't decide to do that before it entered battle, because it could have become unstoppable. But I guess it only works in battle for some reason. Because, I mean, if it didn't, oh boy. It could reach Gregor levels of power and just conquer the world. But nah, probably doesn't work. Or maybe it increases its strength, but it actually puts a time limit on its existence. Not a concern in combat, but our combat. Dead. Which means, of course, that it won't be able to fight things. Yeah. Okay, that's my excuse. It increases its power at the expense of its lifespan. Or something. And that's why it hasn't just been constantly spamming the power move since it was constructed. Constructed and now has 15 billion melee weighting! Because, I mean, even if it did do that, due to how melee weighting works, I would just blast it with magic. The towering construct smashes you with its energy entwined fists. Okay, that is making itself even stronger. A swarm of vicious broad winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. Ah, yes, still wielding the tassel aloft, I'll have to remember to check in on that egg. Which we first met before we started the Proving Grounds thing. And we'll meet again probably at some point during the middle of it. Keep going. Bash. Go into a battle wage. Hey! Stop making yourself stronger during fights. If I can't do that, you shouldn't be able to do that either. I make myself stronger before fights. Yeah. I'm slaying your foe. 41 XP. The massive stone and iron construct collapses into a heap of smashed heap. Into a smashed heap at your feet. Arcs of golden energy leap across the tattered torso of the strange being for several moments in the wake of its demise before rapidly dissipating. You're about to turn and wash off in search of Rulio, when the self-wielding sorceress suddenly appears at your side. Her face is scraped and scuffed and her right hand is bleeding, but she quickly assures you that she is alright. Was she in the fight, or was she fighting something else? Fine bit of work. I thought for certain I had him with that blast. Together, you and Uriah move up and examine the remains of the massive construct. While Uriah is studying the being's large, block-shaped head, you spot something lying on the ground next to his left arm. You lean down and examine the object, and are surprised to discover it's a shard of Waven Bone, much the same as the others you've seen since you first arriving on Sarngard. You quickly take possession of the rare and valuable mineral. It's a Waven Bone shard. Let's have a look at it. You discovered this small shard of Wavern bone amidst the charred remains of the massive stone and metal construct you defeated on the shore of Shrine Isle. So how much Wavern bone have I got so far? I've got a tiny Wavern bone cube, a small cube of Wavern bone, a Wavern bone shard, and a jagged piece of Wavern bone. So that's four pieces of Wavern bone. I'm not sure where all of them are from. The tiny cube is from climbing the adventurer statues. I've only got one so far, but there are several to collect. And apparently if you get enough of them, something happens. Don't know if anyone's actually seen what that something is, but if you have, please tell me. So I'll actually bother to collect all those cubes and have that something happen. Wavern bone? Asked Uriel, looking up to see what you found. Again and again it seems to turn up. It's beginning to make sense though. I'm glad that a sound at your backs causes you both to spin around, prepared for the confrontation. You're surprised and relieved, however, to find yourself face to face with your formerly missing companion. Owl, his face coated with what appears to be a fine film of ash, grins as he strides up to you and Ululi. He nods at the sorceress and tells you that the forest is crawling with many more of the silver armored Tazal. He glances down at the remains of the massive construct and slowly shakes his head. I had a bit of a rough spot in there, he says, wiping away some of the ash that covers up his face and holding up his hand for you two to see. I don't need to tell you, perhaps, but they're all moving in the direction of our ruins. I think they might be after the very thing we are. Sort of convenient that they didn't pick it up long ago, but... Maybe for some reason they couldn't. Maybe they only even knew it was there until we started going there. Because they knew that we would be tracking it down. But from various things. But they didn't know where we would be going. So once they knew, they get the sign. How they're going here. Okay, then they chase the San Howl until it goes to Shrine Isle. Okay, Shrine Isle. That's a small enough area for us to search. Blow it up now. And then they blow it up. You know, as you do when you're evil sorceresses. You like blowing things up. Because it makes a nice sound. And it looks pretty. And the people that you hate die. Yeah, okay. That's my brainstorm for why they hadn't got it already. Because they clearly have the resources to get it. It's just they don't have enough resources to search the entire country. And also they're probably still trying to maintain at least a veneer of secrecy. That's the whole, you know, corpse burning thing, because they probably have enough resources to say deal with any adventure parties. They wouldn't be able to handle a full-on army or even an alliance of kingdoms which may well be formed if everyone knew what they were doing, which we don't, because it's a bit of a mystery. Yeah, that they're working in secret. They don't have enough minions to search everywhere. So they waited for us to go to place, and then they're just going to the obvious location that it would be. And if it's not there, well, they'll just keep searching. Yeah, I don't need to tell you, perhaps, but that they're all moving in the direction of our wings. I think they might be after the very thing we are. Certainly set us back if they were to get it. You're about to ask out what he intends to do next, when he turns and addresses Yulari, what can only be described as an accusatory tone. Nice of you to come and check up on us, fair lady, he sneers. Has the good master sent us all the way? Sure, this way so you can make a timely big appearance with your staff of fire on our behalf? Or, I dread the very thought. Did he hope that you might be able to clearly identify our charred corpses? The sinister implications of Aura's provocative words seem to have little effect on Uria. The sorceress frowns and shakes her head. You know, I think probably Thane Poland would be willing to sacrifice us. Sacrifice of is if that's what it took, you know, to, I don't know, prevent a civil war or whatever he suspects Thane Mazabak is planning. Although it's probably far bigger than he suspects. And you know what? He'd be right to. Because he's operating on a bigger scale than most people. You know, the scale of nations. And when the stakes are that high, well, sometimes, well, you lose. You lose some things. The implications of Al's provocative words seem to have little effect on Oya. The sorceress frowns and shakes her head. I come bearing tidings. Has Proin changed his mind? Just quips out in a wild tone that borders on the noise. Bit late, after all, for calling any of this off. And quite beside the point is the fact that it is now my fight. His business is on the isle where... Quiet! Snaps Uria, flashing the Master Thief a withering glare. Much to her surprise, Owl, who seems not taken aback, promptly obeys her bold command and stops speaking. For several moments, an uncomfortable silence hangs over the three of you. Oreo turns to you and looks directly into your eyes as she delivers the tidings she has carried with her from the shores of Sarngard. Thane Poland is dead. No! She says, exhaling sharply as she finishes her sentence. He was killed in a Nauark ambush north of the Outer Marcus, I learned of it yesterday. No one knows anything of his passing yet. He was, of course, in the guise of Milenor. For whatever this means to either of you and your endeavours, it was my duty to let you know. And how you do? Owl slowly draws his white hand to his mouth, ignores at the edge of his glove finger, while his eyes wander across the narrow stretch of beach and out into dark, roiling waters of the Sarn. Oyo casts a gaze to the ground and then reaches for something on her belt. Your mind races and your heart pounds wildly in the pit of your chest. Oyo's findings have struck you not only a severe tactical blow, one that's profoundly personal. For the next several minutes, no one speaks. Nothing at hand seems to matter. And that is the end of this scenario, where, if it even matters anymore, we get 384 experience to general and 32 experience to all skills and powers. But we must carry on in remembrance and for so much more. And when we get to the halls of the Old Father, we'll tell him what we did. Although he'll probably have already found out somehow. Because he's just that. That's just how he is. Anyway, to the ruins. begin the scenario. And this is the repeat of the previous section, because often you could easily stop between scenarios, and when these were first being put out over a period of about a year and a half, there would be a several week or even month gap between one scenario and the next, and you could well easily need a reminder about what's just happened. But we've just read it, so we don't. And now, I was the first to break the uncomfortable silence that descended upon the three of you in the wake of the tragic news related by Ulluri. He turns to the sorceress and boldly asks her how she arrived on Shrine Isle. "You're a fool," she says, only glancing his direction for a moment before turning her full attention to you.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
"I, too, was close with the Fane," said Grovington, "and I find it difficult to fathom that his end should have come in such an unceremonious manner. Treachery has obviously played a role in it, through, and I shall return to the Isle straight away, see if I might not work my way into the thick of it." "And I'm the fool?" scoffed Owl. "There is nothing to be gained by returning to this, to all of us. Stay with us, and we'll soon be far from this dreadful corner of the kingdom. Our road will take us to Cardson, and the very root of all this. Against my better judgment, I would allow you to share the journey." Yulia frowns and then sighs. "Quite noble of you," she says, tapping the end of her staff against the ground. "But there is much, much to be done on Sargard. Until the Mask Overlord sees fit to abandon its shores, I'll be there, lurking and watching. Let us forget that despite our mutual disdain, we are, you and I, on the same side." Yes, yes, yes. I think Thane Porrand is mostly concerned with what Fane Mazabak is doing, because, well, it's very concerning. And Thane Mazabak is certainly tied into stuff, but the owl seems to be focused on a bigger narrative starring Cardson. Wherever that is. Presumably it's somewhere far away. Not sure where. I mean, I know where. But from a narrative point, for narrative tension, I don't. Oh, no. And, well, Sir Crokington probably knows where it is as well, because she's lived in this world for years and presumably knows all the major locations, including some that aren't even on the official map. And presumably a few Neville realms we've never even been to, even if only stories of those. Owl nods and then turns to you. All right, Sir Crokington, no more delay. Let's be off to the top of that peak. Oreo smiles and closes her eyes and begins muttering a string of strange-sounding words. Before neither you nor Owl can ask what it is she's doing, the unmistakable flapping of thick, leathery wings fills the air. Your eyes are instinctively drawn skyward, where you behold, much to astonishment, a large grey-scale chilterich descending upon you. Owl steps back as the chilterich, which is easily the size of a young dragon, lands gently several yards to the west and quietly folds its massive wings onto its spiny back. You immediately recall the attack you faced from the chilterich riding sorceress as you fled Sarngard, and the attack by the two chilterich that brought about the sudden destruction of the Sarnhowl and the deaths of the captain and crew. Owl demands to know where she obtained the creature, and you swiftly echo his inquiry. Oreo seems taken aback by the almost accusatory tone of your questions, but when you explain to her your recent history with Chilterich and Chilterich Riders, she apologizes and tells you she also came under attack on Sarngard, in the hills south of the keep. She says, I was on my way to, well, in the hills. There wasn't any sorceress on the back of this one, as you described. It was an armoured man, as near as I could tell. He wielded fire as well. Well, everyone does, apparently. That's me who said that. He wields fire as well, though I gave him quite a taste of my own flame. Enough to send him toppling from the back of his poor beast. Well, he tells you. Those are two of you. After blasting the Wido with her own potent magical fire, the Chilterich landed and she went over to investigate the fate of the man she sent tumbling from the sky. Much to her surprise, there was no sign of him to be found. The blast I struck him with should have been enough to kill him, he says. And if it wasn't, the fall should have finished him off. I don't quite know what to make of any of it. Presumably he had the auto burn thing going on as well. And this, says the owl, cautiously stepping closer to the large whipped angle, just like picking up a pouch full of gold. You took this great beast along with you? Certainly not, snapped the sorceress, stepping over and gently rubbing the Chilterich's whipped nose. Who's a good boy? Who is a good boy? Or girl? I can't really tell the gender, you know, from here. Who's a good girl or good boy or good mysterious and indistinct gender being? You are. You are. Yes, you are. It takes a bit of practice to be able to gain the trust of these creatures. And even more to be able to fly atop one. Luckily, what I learned from my days of Aspire seems to be still with me. I think when I return to Sarngard, I'll let this fellow go, though. It won't do me much good to keep soaring about on him. Ooh, Ashbeer. So that is where the Grey Mage live. No, where the Grey Mage and the Leader of the Grey Circle. So probably the most important city in the world. Or at least in Northern Swift. We don't really know what happens in Southern Swift, not even a hint. So, who knows what happens there? Maybe we will eventually. But admittedly, we spent most of our time in just one kingdom, so we're not exploring. We're not blasting through different kingdoms like really at a massive rate, because presumably we're doing it slowly and surely. Slowly and surely. Before either you nor or Owl can suggest it, Oyo offers to give you both a ride to the ruined shrine atop the towering peak at the centre of the Isle. After having heard Owl's account of the Tsar moving about the forest, you're thankful to have a swift and direct route to your ultimate destination. The Chotrix's jagged spine provides natural saddles into which the three of you neatly fit. Ojudio sits closest to the beast's broad neck, and you take the spot directly behind her, leaving Owl nearest to the base of the spiny reptile's tail. The reptile's spiny tail. At first, you're a bit nervous seated atop the creature, but as it spreads its massive wings and lifts its bulk gently into the air, you soon realise you're in no real danger of falling off. Especially since it's a very large creature for Sogar Kington. So you'd have to fall a long, roll a lot about to get to the edge. With a rush of air, the Chotrix soars up and over the forest that dominates the middle portion of the Shrine Isle and heads due north, towards the lofty peak atop which lies the ruins you've travelled here seeking. The blast of fire comes out of nowhere. Uyo shouts, and the Chotrix pitches to the left as the broad bolt of crimson flame streaks into view from the east, tearing past with only a few feet of the sorceress's head. She hugs the neck of the startled reptile and attempts to ride its course. Before she can fully regain control of it, a second bolt of flame hurtles in, this time striking her squarely in the torso. With a blood-curdling shriek, Uyo is knocked from the back of her winged mount and sent plummeting towards the top of the trees far below. As you reach forward, attempting to place your hands on the Chotrix's neck, you catch sight of a blinding flash of white light below. You glance down, but can see no longer any sign of the spellcaster. There, the white, cries the owl, hanging on to the Chotrix with all of his might. You whip your head in the direction he's indicated and spot two other Chotrix, each with a staff wielding rider seated on its spiny back. The closest of your airborne adversaries tilts the long staff in your direction and unleashes a third bolt of the bright crimson flame. The fiery missile streaks through the air, hurtling straight for you as you struggle to gain control of the Chotrix. Picking a number. Bonus of 59. 19 from horsemanship, which I guess also works on Chotrix. 20 from woodmanship and 20 from might. Is this actually the first time that horsemanship was used on anything other than horses? Could be. It's a very little used skill, comparatively speaking. Success, 100 or more. 74, failure. The powerful blast of fire tears into your side, your top, and the bottom as well, because it is small, seriously wounding you, and causing you to momentarily lose your grip on the Chotrix's scaly neck. 23 damage. You desperately attempt to regain your hold on your winged mount as the beast pitches perilously to the right. Sliding to your left, you make a final, desperate attempt to gain Regain your hold on the pitching Chotrak. Picking a number. Bonus of 78. 19 from horsemanship. 19 from agility. 20 from might. 20 from body. Got to get 100 or more or I may well die. Pick now. 104. Success. If I die, I don't know now. Maybe someone else does. Only by the tips of your fingers you manage to retain your grip on the Chotrak's scaly neck, using the last reserves of your strength. I don't know, I think I might have more left. You claw your way back into the seated position of the winged beast's... into a seated position on the winged beast's spiny back. Owl screams something to you, but the howl of your... but the howl of the wind drowns out his desperate cries as you turn the nose of the massive reptile towards a towering peak now looming out of the forest to the north and east. Owl again screams out to you, and in time you distinctly hear the word south. Turning to look over your left shoulder, you catch sight of the source of the desperate warning. There, swiftly closing on you from behind, are the two other Chotrak and their riders. With no other choice but to attempt to reach the towering peak before you're overtaken or blasted with more fire. You attempt to urge your mount onwards, hoping the winged reptile has enough strength and speed to outdistance your menacing pursuers. Picking a number. Bonus from 68. 90 from horsemanship. 20 from spirit. 10 from luck. 19 from agility. So I could raise that number a little bit, but not much. Anyway, can't really do anything about it now. Well, I can do something about the agility, but not the horsemanship. Got to get 100 or more, or they'll get me first. Pick now. 136 success. Urged on by your efforts, the Chotrak begins swiftly beating its massive wings as it streaks through the sky towards the approaching peak. As it draws up to the broad pinnacle of stone, the mighty beast veers to the right and begin to rapid descent towards a large clearing in the forest clear of the summit. Much to relief, a quick glance back over your shoulder reveals the two other Chotrak have peeled off and are flying back towards the south, the riders having apparently given up pursuit. Or maybe they're just waiting till I try to get off. You're great relieved to find that the owl is still clinging to the beast's back. That will they. Or perhaps they have someone on the shrine already, and they don't want to risk, you know, destroying them in the process. You're also greatly relieved to find owl is still clinging to the beast's back, as you soar in for a landing. You catch sight of what you assume must be the ruins of the shrine atop the peak. As the Chotrak nears the ground at the centre of the clearing, the winged reptile subtly spins onto its back and shoots upwards into the air, swiftly reversing its descent and casting you and Owl from its back. As you plummet towards the ground below, you make a desperate bid to soften your landing. Okay, I guess the Chotrak has had enough of us. You know what? Fair enough, Chotrak. Okay, admittedly, I'm not... so croaking isn't that very heavy, but... I'm probably, pointy in some places. And I'm not sure how heavy Owl is, but it's more a matter of pride, isn't it? I mean, we haven't done all the things that you need to do to be a Chotrak rider. No, none of the things. We have not earned the right to ride a Chotrak. And so you can just toss us off whatever you want. Such as the right you have earned by being really big. Anyway, four options. Fortification, telekinesis, elementalism, or please continue. Well, So again, I turn to random.org. I go into 3. I feel please continue will probably just do a check to see how damaged you get when you hit the ground. Anyway, 3 will be elementalism. What's that going to be? It succeeded. 24 experience to elementalism. You summon your power of elementalism, and without delay, the ground that's speeding upwards to meet your descent explodes as a towering earth elemental rises up. The mighty being of dirt and stone, mostly dirt in this case, because I need something soft, stretches out its broad hand and catches you. Thank you very much. Always thank you elementals, okay? Always thank your elementals. With a grumble and what you perceive to be a grin spread across its stony face, the elemental gently deposits you safely on the ground. Thank you. On the ground in the middle of the clearing before swiftly retreating into the earth. Nice bit of work there, says a familiar voice to your left. You turn to find the owl seated behind a thick tuft of tall grass that covers the clearing, nursing what appears to be a sore ankle. I guess he managed to break his fall. Maybe he had some sort of feathery devices somehow hidden on his person. I've taken worse, you know. But should this sort of thing keep up, you'll be carrying me on your back before too long. Oh dear, that'll be difficult. Well, with me being very small, but barely I can change that. The owl ignores your extended hand and regains his feet on his own. The master thief then turns and stares up at the top third of the towering stone pinnacle that stretches into the sky behind you. Now, nearly as high as the summit, and still climbing, the two of you turn your gazes towards the shrinking silhouette of the parting Choderic. I had hoped to ride it back down, maybe even off this forsaken isle, says Owl, turning to once again stare up at the peak. But after all this, I think I might rather swim in the Sarn. But I assume the Sarn is absolutely filled with sharks and the giant eels and all sorts of nastiness. Not sure how much nastiness. We haven't had that many nautical adventures yet. We've had that one on the Silver Galleon, but that's about it for nautical adventures. Because admittedly, it has some coastline, but it's not an island nation where nautical adventures would be a major thing for your average adventure. Of course, there's options. It's definitely a healthy supply of nautical adventurers. Like Captain Jod's Dwasklet with his dragon skinner. Plenty of nautical adventures with him. You know, of course, the adventure we had with him wasn't particularly sea. Yaha! Sea dogs! Whoa ho ho! Fighting pirates! Battling sea monsters! Discovering treasure on small islands! But when we go to Arkandar, I'm sure there will be plenty of nautical adventures upon the way. Or at least some. I don't suppose we've seen the last of the Firecasters, says Owl, whose disdain for Oreo is evident. A mage of her skill is capable of some very remarkable feats. And I believe we may just have witnessed one. I only hope it wasn't done solely on our account. Owl's words anger you, and you're about to speak up in Uriah's defence, but he suddenly retracts them. He's a friend of yours, no doubt. I can see that, he says. I'm sorry I must make my misgivings so plain. I beg your forgiveness, Sir Croakington. Your anger subsides almost instantly, and as your words return to the spellcaster, you hope that our words will prove at least partially true. She has been saved from horrendous death by her own potent magic. You also hope she will soon rejoin you. On the far side of the clearing, you locate a broad, largely overgrown path that winds its way. That winds its way up to the edge of the peak towards the summit. Owl tells you it does not appear that anyone's passed this way recently. You come to the same conclusion. He hopes the two of you will find the ruined shrine deserted. Nothing would more speedily spoil the day than a rude welcome from a bunch of snakes, he says, frowning. Oh, I really suspect that will happen, because it seems that there's always... It seems that whoever we're fighting just has some sort of bag of holding just filled with Tazal. They just go, have a Tazal, have a Tazal, have a Tazal. Just throwing them at us again and again and again. Come on then. Let's hurry. I hope the good sorceress might find us again, if indeed she lived. I can't help but think we might need all the help we can get before this next bit is over. Oh yeah, and the beast. The beast is around. And I'm pretty sure that steaming construct wasn't the beast. I mean, it might have been the beast, but I suspect that's a bit too early to be fighting the beast. And that is the end of this scenario, with 384 experience to general and 32 experience to all skills and powers. And the next scenario is called the Battle for the Shrine. Now we're getting close to an hour, so I'll stop for now. And next time we'll battle for the shrine. Read the passage if it's still there. I mean, maybe it's already been stolen and destroyed. Get the books. Those may well be far more urgent. And then we've got to figure out a way off this aisle. Because admittedly, our original plan, go back on the Sun Howl, that's been sunk, quite literally. But anyway, I'm sure that will be at least some of those questions will be answered in the next episode. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.